telling us to start. How many of you know Barnabas and Bitrise? Have any of you used it? No one's technical? Perfect. Man, it seems like you were born to be a founder. Because from the get-go, you're like, founder. Where does that come from?
As a kid, I had an idea that I want to own my own company. Back at that time, so I started coding back at primary school. And after that...
Why so late?
That was the first time I was able to get to a computer, right? And after that, in high school, I started jumping into game development. With my CTO, we wrote 3D game engines. And at that time, I read a book. I'm not sure whether you know Doom as a game. Doom. No? ID Software. Who knows Doom? Perfect. Okay, so
I'm feeling so bad about myself. Explain me that. I want to know the game. Tell me a bit about
it. That's basically a first-person shooter, the first one that's in 3D. So that's what ID Software created. So what we did back at that time, we created an engine to redo the whole thing, but they had a book. And in the book, they were talking about how they created the game prior to that, what was the culture in the company, and all of this. And the culture itself was something that I extremely liked. You grabbed a bunch of energy drinks, you sat down next to rock music, and you code till 2 a.m., and if the code is not doing what you asked it to do, then you grab the keyboard, smash it on the wall, and grab a new one. So that was my idea of starting a company. And in university, I started doing iOS development. And after that, I jumped into creating iOS apps and realized pretty soon that running a company is something I'm really like to do next to the coding. So eventually, I created the company itself. It was not a game company, but honestly, that would be way, way, way more difficult.
In terms of running the company, what do you like and what do you hate? Do you like manage? Who likes managing people? Like, everyone hates that. Or who likes talking about OKRs, performance, blah blah blah? No one likes that.
I need to say I love it, right? So that's basically a journey. When you start creating a company, it's all about product. It's all about customers. It's all about I'm doing everything next to 2-3 people. And as soon as you start scaling it, that's where you get into a point that okay, you're talking about OKRs. You're still in the product, but actually other people are doing the work. So the mindset shift that you need to do throughout this journey is you need to realize that your impact is not happening if you sit down and code. Your impact is happening if you align the people, if you communicate, if you're transparent with all of these different goals. So everybody understands what to actually execute on. And what I'm doing is actually getting to the impact through 100 different people.
So, and you're liking it.
It's different. I love sitting down and coding. I love creating shit. Also, I like scaling a company, but it's a total different thing.
And do you still code apart from work? Do you build stuff?
I just want to. I don't really have any time for that, but I really would like to. I'm not allowed to do any code, write any code in the code base. My CTO banned me. So the whole thing was that I write amazing code, first of all. No bugs whatsoever. So I sit down, I write the code, I do the whole thing, and after that the meeting starts, so I go to have the meetings. And they realize I still write some bugs into the whole thing, but I don't care about them, so they need to fix it. And after that, they decided to ban me from the whole shit.
Nice. And what pushed you towards mobile CI/CD? I mean, obviously you were doing iOS development while at college, you've seen the problems with CI/CD in the mobile space, and then you tried a bunch of solutions, they didn't work, or what happened there?
We did. So back at that time, that's 2014, we tried out a bunch of different things. Jenkins, Travis back at that time was huge, but nobody was doing real mobile CI/CD. So Apple is an amazing company, they're creating amazing hardwares, and they're creating amazingly shit tools for developers. So the tool sets, whatever you need to use, is just not there. So we had to sit down and start building out our own thing. And interestingly, this was back at the previous company, it's a mobile development agency. And at that time, a client wanted to have 6-7 different build flavors from the same application. So I sat down, I write the, I start the build, and after that, I go out to grab a bunch of smokes, a bunch of coffee, and in 30 minutes, came back, grab the IP, send it out, and restart the process. So this amount of smoking and caffeine is not healthy. So you start automating the whole process for yourself.
And what does Bitrise do? What's mobile CI/CD? Let's start with that.
We are basically automating processes for companies who own mobile applications. So better quality, faster builds, and better feedback loop for the customers.
And putting Bitrise apart, to me it seemed like the mobile CI/CD space didn't mature. There are no winners apart from Bitrise, right?
I don't agree on the didn't mature part. I would say mobile is still extremely new. So if you go to, let's say, Circle, if you check other developer tools, we are talking about DevSecOps in the web world. DevOps is already figured out. Everybody knows how to do this, and we're extremely keen on figuring out the security piece. Now, in mobile, we are still learning how to actually do the whole thing. There are a bunch of point solutions, startups. Everybody is creating their cool idea, but nobody is winning the space. And if you're looking into customers, you can have a huge enterprise customer with a two-person mobile team. So you would expect that you're selling to them for millions, but honestly, they're only spending a couple of bucks because they have zero idea how to develop apps. So what we are doing is basically we are helping these companies to go through a mobile development journey or a mobile transformation, and why they're using Bitrise, they're getting better and better every time how they're actually utilizing their mobile teams.
And you mentioned Circle CI. If we go a layer above and not be stuck with mobile in general, more horizontal CI/CD, how big is that market? Who else is there? How many unicorns are there?
Like in unicorns in where?
General CI/CD.
General CI/CD, no. Nobody. Oh, no. Circle, I believe, has a valuation above $1 billion, right? But maybe one or two, I would say. There is most probably CloudBees that's also there. But there's no clear winner. Nobody's really winning the CI/CD market. And honestly, the CI/CD market is not that sexy or interesting. It's basically automating scripts. That's it. Our goal when we started the whole thing was to help developers to automate all of these processes. So we created a CI/CD process because this was needed for the customers. This was needed for ourselves to fix it. And with that, we basically scratched our own itch. But we figured out that other companies are also interested. But as we are moving ahead, so we went to Y Combinator back at 2017. And in YC, we figured out that it's not really CI/CD what we care about. We care about helping these companies with mobile application to mature constantly. So what we're building out is not a CI/CD tool. We are building out a mobile DevOps or an app platform. And in the app platform, a CI/CD is just one piece. We have multiple different point solutions that are helping for all of these companies for their different use cases. And depending on the maturity, they can decide that, okay, currently I only need an automation tool, so that's CI/CD. But after that, I would like to have a release management tool because I need to release it to the QA. But as soon as I'm going through the whole thing, I need to release to the App Store. Now, App Store releases are shit. If I do anything on that side, I need to wait an additional week. So I need to mature our processes better. So these are the additional tools that we are helping them with.
And compared to more general CI/CD, there's a platform monopolization in mobile. As you said, there's the App Store, and then there's Android, and that's it. There's OS dependency and platform monopolization. How did that change the business dynamics? Does that give less power to a mobile CI/CD company, more power to platform owners like Apple?
So that's where, let's say, Circle, Jenkins, other players are different than us. So if I develop a web application, I'm going to release it. If I fucked it up, I'm going to pull it back in a second. Nobody fucking cares, right? Now, if I do the same thing with mobile, I need to wait an additional week. And if that happens, my customers will be extremely angry, and they're going to move to a different place. So with mobile, you see a shift-left movement. So everybody is trying to figure out all the errors, all the issues before production, and you need to have all of these different point solutions created for them so they can figure out all of these errors before they release the code, or you give them a different solution how they can really quickly change the production app in the system.
Interesting. So this dependency is actually creating the shift left movement.
Yes.
That you don't see in the general CI/CD space. And do you see the adoption in mobile accelerating, or the penetration levels rising faster than other forms of CI/CD?
You wouldn't say it's faster. It's not faster because of that. It's faster because everybody is having a mobile phone, right? We are all using applications. Now, there's the Appany report. They're saying you're spending an average 4.2 hours daily just looking at your phone. Now, if you multiply...
Such a bad life.
It's bad. So if you multiply up this number, that's net 2 months per year. So net 2 months, you're just looking at the phone. And next to this is one of the best tool to reach the customers in a customized, personalized way. So companies figured it out and they started building out applications. And what we're betting on is there's a transformation happening from web to mobile, or to actually from web to application, because mobile, the code that you write to a mobile is now running on, thanks to Apple Silicon, the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple TV, macOS, or with Flutter, you can do the exact same thing and go up to the website.
And you mentioned the open source competitors, Travis, which used to be Trendy, and then obviously Jenkins. How do you position yourself compared to them? And do you see that threat as a direct threat or more of an indirect one where companies would eventually need to build that maturity and make that transition anyways?
So I would say blunt, that's most probably not the right answer, but I simply just don't care about them. And the reason is, so CI/CD for us now is a point solution. What Circle, Travis, what they used to be doing is they're betting on a horizontal scaling, and while we're betting on a vertical scaling. So instead of competing with them, I care about how we actually stack up next to GitLab, how we stack up next to GitHub, because what we want to be is actually a platform for application development, not just be a CI/CD tool.
And if when you look in your current customer base, do you mostly convert customers from other CI/CD tools? Do you convert customers from open source alternatives like migration from Jenkins? Or are these types of customers who have never used CI/CD and then they meet with this product category thanks to you guys?
Short answer, all of them. Longer answer, so Bitra is land and expand motion, right? So what we're doing is we're most of the time developers finding out about Bitrise. They try it out with a pet project and they fall in love. They start using it, they start scaling on it. But as soon as they go back to work, they're going to start championing for that product. So what we're seeing most of the time is a company starts signing up, instantly paying for a small amount, and after that constantly, month by month or quarter over quarter, paying more and more and more. And eventually they're adding more code, they're adding more application, more developers, and they start unifying inside the company. So that's when direct sales is coming in and we are getting the bigger checks.
And you guys were big on community from the start. That's how you aggregated that long tail of indie developers almost developing apps to use Bitrise. And then obviously that motion that you just described happened where these people wanted enterprises to buy that as well. So from a sales strategy perspective, is community still the biggest driver of growth?
So now we are doubled down on direct sales as well. We started building out a team. Now we have salespeople for different regions. So we started scaling it up. But initially it was purely community. And the community strategy was extremely clever. We did an amazing job.
Was it your idea?
My CTO was basically in all the different forums answering questions. That was we didn't have any plan. We didn't have any strategy. He was just there answering the questions. And because of that, more and more customers started talking about us, finding us. If you still Google for most of the iOS questions, Victor's answer is going to come up.
Nice. And if you look into the current customer base, can you give us a breakdown as to enterprise customers versus indie long-tail developers?
I would say 40 to 60.
Where do you stand from a traction perspective? Number of customers, apps, users, MRR?
Tens of thousands of customers, and I can't answer the rest.
Growth?
We were 2x-ing. This year, I would say we are not hitting 2x, but we are building it out to go back to 2x-ing again.
And what's the sales or marketing strategy that works? If you go under 3x, let's say next year, miraculously 3x is amazing at your stage, obviously, because you're a huge company. Where can that come from?
It's going to still be land and expand, right? So one part is the land and expand motion, having a lot more long-tail customers that we can upsell. The other one is building out the platform. So now next to the CI/CD, we have an additional point solution that we already released that's called Insight. That's basically the analytical layer on top of all the mobile data that we're sitting on, so we can tell or show the customers that across your DevOps lifecycle, this is what you're doing, this is how you're tracking, these are the issues, and this is where you need to focus on. And if you're using a Bitrise point solution, then we can automate fixing these issues for you. Now, the third one that we're building out is the release management tool, so helping them mature through this this whole journey. And the additional traction is when you start becoming a platform, it means that, okay, customers are signing up, they started using one tool, but you start cross-selling to multiple different solutions.
Interesting. So obviously, from a mindset perspective, you're a DevSecOps company, you're not a CI/CD company. But probably from a...
I would say still DevOps, because in mobile security is nowhere there.
Non-existent. Yeah, okay, DevOps company. But from a branding perspective, revenue perspective, how the customers see you, more of a CI/CD company. When do you think that complete twist is going to happen? Because I think that you're really excited about these new products that you're going to build, the land and expand motion that you want to achieve over the next 5 years. And eventually, it's not going to be a CI/CD company.
So if it would be up to me, it's like yesterday or three quarters ago. I would say in this quarter, Jean-Boy is already laughing. I would say in this quarter, in Q4, we are going to get into a position, but with the messaging, with everything, we're able to switch to. It's more like execution, right? So as a company, we have to get to a point that we see this, we see all the products, we see that we can show this to the customers, and we start changing the messaging. Now, with the messaging, we can already help the customers to direct that. The interesting piece here is a lot of customers are using us in a DevOps way. So we, as a CI/CD tool, we are not giving you all of this in a ready-built way, but you can actually build it around the tool. And these companies are basically solving it inside Bitrise. So we already see the use cases. We already see customers are doing this. Now we just need to productize the whole thing and need to actually start talking about it.
And I think you're the only vertically positioned large company in the space, vertically focused on mobile. All of the other big companies or open source projects are much more horizontal, which means they can land and expand in different ways, but they can't land and expand to become DevOps companies and build futures that are more, I don't want to say irrelevant, but adjacent.
I would say they can do this. The problem is going to be vision and strategy. So what I'm seeing with the other competitors, if you're looking into the CI/CD space, they care about the horizontal scale. They want to make sure they are supporting everything. Now, the big problem with it, or at least what I believe the big problem with this, is you can't have a dedicated focus into one specific platform. Even if we are just specifically focusing into mobile, this means we need to support native iOS, Android, and a bunch of cross-platform additional things next to caching and a lot of different things. Now, if you scale it to tons of different languages, you're basically fucked. So what we're doing is focusing into this specific area and creating a full platform to that use case.
And you guys joined YC, and I think YC was monumental in Bitrise's success. Can you please elaborate on that experience?
So getting into YC was interesting. That was the third startup that we applied. The first two we didn't get in. With the third, the first application got declined. And after that, one of our investors told us to, guys, just apply again. Like, fuck, okay, let's send it in. We sent it in, and interestingly, we got in. So I didn't expect that at all. We recorded the video like for the second try and just sent in the whole thing. Like, I don't care, it's never going to happen. Getting into YC, most of the companies are there with just an idea. So when we get there, we already had traction, we already had revenue, we already had customers. So we're arriving there like, okay, we are going to show the other guys how it's done. We know how to do this. And you arrive there and pretty soon realize that you are not the smartest person in the room. You are not close to being the smartest person in the room. So that was actually refreshing and really interesting to learn from all of the different founders there. And the additional thing that they're doing is they're doing weekly. So with the partners, you're working on a weekly basis regarding what you need to deliver, what you need to show to the whole community there. And what you will learn really quickly is the iterative mindset. And you will learn this through basically competition. Because every week you go in, and what you bring in, you're going to hear what others are bringing in and what others delivered. And you're going to feel extremely shit that others did more than yourself. So you're going to work till the weekends all day long just to be able to show that, yes, we are moving ahead. Now, in 3 months, you need to deliver with the product, you need to talk with the customers, you need to create revenue, and at the end, you need to actually raise some money. So it's a pretty interesting but extremely stressful experience. But I would definitely do this again.
If you become a founder again after you IPO Bitrise and you're bored and you're like, fuck this, I want to do another company, you would actually go to YC again?
Yes. The only thing that I'm interested about, what will YC do back at that time? Because also when we got in, it's already started scaling up. In COVID, they started investing into, I don't know, 200, 400 companies at the same batch. So that's not going to be the same experience because you simply just can't have the amount of focus that you need, I believe, as a startup back at that time. But they started scaling it down again. So depending on that. But I believe there is a normal range where it makes a lot of sense.
And after YC, up until now, you guys raised $80 million from top-tier funds. $80 million, give or take, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Kinda. $80 million, give or take, from top-tier funds. Was it ever an issue that you guys are based in Hungary, the team is here, et cetera?
Raising the seed round was extremely hard. Raising the seed round was hard, but raising the Serie A round was extremely hard. So back at that time, we are a mobile-first company, where mobile is extremely niche. We are in Europe. Not Hungary was the problem. Being in Europe, being a mobile-first company, nobody really understands it, plus you're extremely technical. Raising Serie A, YC was helping in it. So with YC, we received the YC badge, and after that, everybody wants to invest into you. So while Daniel was actually doing the pitch for the YC community, I was closing the round with the lawyers. And after that, Serie B, I would say, a lot more easier, and Serie C, extremely easy. But there, we already had the traction, we already had the growth. So with the numbers, it's actually helping. If you have good numbers, it's really easy to close something.
And you do have teams in Hungary, but also in UK and the US. How do you sustain the culture?
So first, it was hard. So when we started scaling, we were only just in Budapest. When we acquired our first company, that was back 2019, that was the time when we had our first non-Hungarian employees. So we received a couple of people from the US and a bit more in the UK. And I still remember to one of the old hands, I'm doing the speech, everything is good, everybody's getting it, we are grabbing the beers. And after that, the US guy starts messaging me that he's not getting it. I'm like, fuck, what's your problem? So I decide to go to San Francisco, and I am having a talk with him. And it turns out that having a nine-hour time zone difference is actually problematic, and it's really hard to get what's happening in an office. So that basically validated that the hybrid setup is not working. And with that, we started building out asynchronous communication. We started building out documentations. And that actually helped on scaling in a transparent manner. And the other one is hiring. With hiring for, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 people, I was involved in each of the hires. And after that, we trained the people to do cultural interviews. And the cultural interview piece is crucial in that.
And the cons of having a multi-tier office structure is obvious. What are the pros? What are the advantages of having?
So we don't have the multi-tier office. We don't have offices. I would say the con. So if I would do the whole thing, and if I could do the whole thing, I would have one office. And the reason it's way easier to go into the office, go grab a coffee, bounce into somebody, discuss it, or just hear something and you can instantly go there and talk about the good or the bad behavior and fix it through that. Now, in a Zoom environment, you don't have all of this. Every discussion is basically transactional. So it takes a lot more time to invest into this. But if you would like to scale in a way that you're hiring talent across the globe, you can't have one office. So you have to decide. So I don't believe you can build a remote company that is working amazingly, but you can constantly improve it. So here what most probably will help, and this is something I will definitely want to look into, is setting the specific key results or goals for a remote environment and making sure that you're tracking and scaling it that way.
And what's next for Bitrise? What would make you very happy?
The platform. That's what we definitely need to build out, and that's going to take a bunch of years. So first, now we have all of these point solutions. We have to validate. We have PMF on that side. Customers are seeing the value. They start paying for the whole thing. We can change the whole pricing. We can reposition a pretty mature CI/CD tool into a mobile or an app platform, and start scaling that way, which is an interesting challenge.
Thanks a lot for joining. This was great and very insightful.
Thank you.
To stay in the loop, go to our website, getcc.com, or follow us at getcc on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube.